Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
Oh, and today's show, John, we're getting ready to start the spring season. And I know there's a lot of activities going on. We have a couple of events. Master Gardeners are going to be at the Home and Garden Expo at the El Paso Convention Center, March 10th through the 12th. So that's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They'll be hosting a lot of different events. They'll have different talks at the garden stage, talking about composting, talking about irrigation, and all about insect care as well. And they'll have some kids' activity sections where they'll be doing some junior master gardener activities. And they'll also be there answering your questions. So stop by, bring a photo on your phone.
Or a sample.
Or a sample, whatever you like, and come down and visit the Master Gardeners. You also have another great program coming here on campus on Saturday, March the 11th.
Right, and that's our Sunscape program. We've been holding that for a number of years, and what we're trying to do is educate, you know, residents here on how to grow things in the, you know, desert climate. And we're talking about primarily ornamentals, landscape, you know, working with native plants, but kind of getting to where, you know, give you some background on why certain things grow here and why certain things don't. So kind of give you a little background on, you know, the use of native plants. We have a landscape architect that's going to give a little presentation on how to work these native plants into your landscape design. So not necessarily to make you a landscape architect, but to kind of give you some ideas. So if you're working with a designer or a landscaper, you know, here's, you know, some combinations that you can use to integrate native plants or desert adapted plants into your landscape. And then Oscar Mestis, our retired forester, is going to also be involved, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about native trees of the area and how to care for them, how to prune, you know, things like that. We'll be talking about how to plant plants properly, because that's one of the big factors. I'm running across that more and more with especially some of our nursery-bought plant material. They seem to be very root-bound. Mm. People don't take care of them right away and just drop them in the ground. It leads for problems, you know, 5, 6, 8 years down the road, and all of a sudden your tree's in trouble or your shrub's in trouble. So it's that's one of the number one problems that we're seeing. So it's kind of good to get people and let them know so that when they're planting, we aren't creating those problems.
Right.
So talk about irrigation, some different things in it. It's $35. It's pretty much an all day, 8 to about 4, 4:30. We will do a quick little tour on campus here and look at some of the plants that have been used on campus and in the garden and kind of get you familiar with some of the plants so you can actually see them planted on a property, and so you can kind of take notes and stuff. We also have a little thumb drive that has some different publications on it, so it gives you some background information that you can go into later and kind of review at your time.
Wonderful. So it sounds like a great way to empower folks that are either going to be the do-it-yourself group or also empowering them if they're working with a professional. So folks that are maybe new to the area or maybe looking to convert more of a traditional lawn into a more native plant habitat. It's a great folks to be able to attend this Sunscape program.
Right. And it's not necessarily designed for newbies, you know, new people in the El Paso area. It is a great chance for those new people to get a little background on, you know, it is difficult to garden here. It's not easy. We have a lot of things going against us. So, right, you know, talking about some of those things and how to try and work around them and, you know, use adapted plant material is one way to avoid some of the problems that you have when you plant non-traditional plant material. True. So use things that are adapted to the area.
To the area. Wonderful. Now, John, how can they register for the class?
And again, they can call the museum, and it's 915-747-8994. And they can take your information and sign you up for the Sunscape class. Again, it's $35. It is an all-day class, and it's Saturday, March 11th. So, you know, have any questions, give the museum a call and we'll answer your questions.
Wonderful. And we'll put that, make sure that goes up on the Good to Grow page as well so they can know how to contact you for that. So a lot of great activities going on. Definitely now is the season to start thinking about spring. But even in the dead of winter, we have some nice little plants that start perking up, and those are going to be our weeds or our undesirable plants as well. So,
yes. As people say, weeds are just a plant that has not found its niche or its need yet. So, you know, dandelions can be a weed, but they're also an edible crop.
Right, of course. It's a gourmet salad.
So they have, you know, different uses. So weeds are a problem, and unfortunately, a lot of the weeds that are up and getting pretty big right now are weeds that germinated last fall. Mm. So the time to control them was last fall, not now, because they're big. They've already got, you know, seed heads on them, and they're pretty much bloomed out, and, you know, when the heat moves in, they're going to die out. But they're very, very hard to kill when they're big. Mm. So a lot of your herbicides won't work. Mm. So you're kind of getting revenge on them, but you're not really eliminating your weed problem. So you want to hit them early. Mm-hmm. The best way to control weeds is not to let them go to seed.
A lot of times that progression from bloom to seed set is very quick.
Right.
So essentially, you may think that you're trying to get them before they set seed, and you're already past that. So, and a lot of times when you're talking about your herbicides, they work when the plant is actively growing. So
right.
The faster that the plant is growing and putting out leaves, the faster you're going to be able to get that herbicide translocated to kill the weed. And after that, I mean, they kind of start slowing down when they start setting up their little spike there.
All right.
So what do you think? I mean, we've had some moisture this winter.
Yeah, we're probably going to have a pretty good weed crop. You know, our what we call London Rocket or wild mustard. A lot of people know it as wild mustard. It's been coming up all over the place. And the wild mustard has been associated with the insect that causes curly top virus. Mm. It likes to overwinter on the mustards.
Uh-huh.
And when the mustards begin to die off, then the plant leaves the mustard and moves on to usually, it's when our spring gardens are being started, and it jumps onto the spring gardens.
Oh, I see.
And starts to do damage there. So you definitely need to keep your weeds under control, especially around a vegetable garden. You don't want a lot of weeds stacked up around it. You know, if you have a larger garden and you have a lot of weeds, again, you want to get those cleared, you know, taken care of.
Right.
And you know, we have two kinds of weed control. One is pre-emergent, where you kill the weed as the seed begins to germinate in the ground. So you put a barrier down, and when the weed seed begins to germinate and hits that layer, it's killed. And so you never see the weed come up at all.
Okay.
Post-emergent is after the weed is up, and then you spray it. But again, weed kill is best when the weeds are young and small and just actively growing. Much easier to kill.
And also, herbicides are also separated by the types of plants or weeds that they kill, right? So you
right.
have a grassy weed control, or you can have a broadleaf weed control. And
right.
that's really, I always tell folks, it's always easy to kind of pull out a leaf and put it up in the sky and see what kind of veins do they look. If it's parallel, it goes straight up and down, it's going to be a grassy weed. And if it has almost a net formation on that, that's going to be more of your broadleaf
right.
weeds.
And, you know, we also break weeds down into annuals and perennials.
That's true.
And we got some perennials that are really nasty perennials. They're very, very hard to get rid of. And so you got to decide how you're going to control them, or are you going to move?
Right.
So, you know, some of them are pretty hard. And you got to select the right herbicide. And when you select the herbicide, you want to make sure you read the label before you purchase it in the nursery or the garden center. Make sure it is the right product for use in that particular application in your yard.
Right.
So somewhere on the label it says stay out of the root zones of desirable trees and shrubs.
Right.
You know, where's the root zone on your mulberry?
Yeah,
Denise?
Exactly. It's two doors down with my neighbor.
Yeah, so it's, you know, they're big areas, so the whole yard might be a root zone. So you want to be careful using materials like that, because you can kill your tree, damage your shrubs, and, you know, won't hurt the grass, but it'll damage your trees and shrubs, because it won't distinguish between a shrub and a weed.
Right, exactly. Just take it all. Take right. it all. So we definitely see that happening. And during the summertime, when we have a lot of phone calls coming in on that right. as well. There's no excuse for you not to read your labels. I mean, they're all posted online. You just do a search on that. Do your calculations. Make sure that you get the right application rate. More is not necessarily better.
Yeah, and I guess I want to throw the precaution out on weed and feed.
Right.
Weed and feed products, we see more damage to trees and shrubs because it's treated like a fertilizer, so you dump it in the, you know, little whirling spreader and you just go around the yard spreading it out, and, you know, you actually should calculate the square footage and figure out how many pounds of the product are put out per 1,000 square feet and only put that amount out. But right. most homeowners just dump a bag in a whirly bird spreader and take off.
And then
you never know whether you're overdosing it, under, you know, maybe you're not putting enough material out.
Right.
And so you run the risk of damaging things, or you're just wasting chemical.
Right, of course, exactly.
And money.
And money. And your time, energy, and it's just not a good environmental stewardship right. on that. But definitely there's a lot of online calculators that will also help you get those calculations if you want to make sure you want to double check
right.
your math on that.
Right.
All right. Well, as we go on to our next segment of the show, I'd like to talk a little bit about our plant of the week. And John, you want to talk a little bit about our Mexican redbud?
Yeah, Mexican redbud is a beautiful small tree, you know, small, medium-sized tree, about 20, 25 feet in height. You know, it's like a lot of the redbuds, there are other types of redbuds, but our particular one that we're talking about is the Mexican redbud. And they do pop out and bloom. You're one of the first plants to bloom in the spring. Have a very fuchsia pink bloom on them. No leaves. The little flower buds seem to come out of the bark and, you know, everywhere
right.
else on the plant. So it's kind of weird where they form at. And they just cover the entire plant. So it's a beautiful bloom when it's in bloom. Lasts, week and a half. You know, if we have some high winds and stuff, might shorten it a little bit, but, you know, after it blooms, then it gets pollinated. The bees, you know, visit things, gets pollinated, and then we start getting the leaves come out. So as the leaves come out, the blooms begin to dry off and fall off. And then if the flowers are pollinated, then you'll get a little seed pod.
Mm-hmm.
And those are kind of pretty because they're usually kind of a burgundy color.
Right.
And they make for interesting color on the plant when the bloom is gone. And then you get the large or fairly large oval, wavy-leafed, glossy right. leaves on it. So it makes a real pretty tree.
And you indicated all these different characteristics that we look at for native plants, adapted plants. Multi-trunk trees are great choices for us in our area.
Right.
The glossy leaves also add that protection from water loss.
Right.
But I'm a big fan of the Mexican red, but it seems to be one of the first indicator plants that spring is on its way because everything can be really quiet and kind of bare, and those red buds are in full bloom. So,
right. And red buds, again, you know, can be found in nurseries and stuff, but if you want to are more native adapted, ask for Mexican redbud.
The Mexican variety, right?
Right.
Correct. Wonderful. Excellent. Well, we're out of time on our show today, but if you all have any questions, please contact the Master Gardener Help Desk at 771-2354. We want to thank Hunter Taylor for engineering and producing today's show. I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And I'm John White.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden
good to grow.